Our next presenter is Sally Fleece. The presentation is titled Investigating the Relationship Between Corn Silage Fiber Digestibility and Rainfall, Growing Degree Days, and Soil Group.
Good morning. So this morning I'm going to talk a little bit about using some of the dairy nutrition newer numbers for digestibility that have come out and some relationships that we've been investigating in New York. So in 2014, the Cornell introduced a new system for measuring fiber digestibility for dairy animals, and they went to multiple time points instead of a single time point, trying to determine the undigestible fractions of corn silage more than just 30-hour digestibility in the rumen. So currently we are measuring in some assays the 30, 120, and 240-hour digestibilities of corn silage to try and find that undigestible time point. Additionally, labs moved to standardized to ash-corrected NDF from standard NDF. Some labs were doing it, some labs weren't. Basically, what this did was add some more letters to your NDF analysis on your results. So we now look at ANDFOM, which is the ash-corrected neutral detergent fiber, using both amylase and sodium sulfite. So the A indicates the use of the amylase, and the OM indicates that it's ash-corrected. And then additionally, we added UNDFOM, which is the ash-corrected undigestible time point. And we do measure it at all three time points. And this is used to determine rates of digestion curves in ration balancing software. But today we're going to focus through the presentation on just this 240 hours. So really that kind of undigestible time point where the cow's not going to get any more out of that energy out of that plant. Digestible NDF in the will be used throughout the presentation, and this would be noted as ANDFDOM on reports. The NDF is potentially digestible in the rumen and is measured by that 240-hour time point again. We're going to talk a little bit about fast pool and slow pool digestion. The fast pool is the proportion of the digestible NDF that is rapidly available to rumen microbes. Larger fast pools result in higher dry matter intake, so the cow's going to be able to eat more, faster eating rate, and tends to float up in the rumen, so it's going to get chewed up and passed through even if it's got a longer particle size. The slow pool acts more as rumen fill, and will probably get chewed more than the fast pool stuff because it's got to get down to that right particle length before it's going to pass out. And as the pool size increases, we're going to decrease how much we're eating, we're going to decrease total intake, and we're going to increase total chewing and rumination time. So the objective of this work was to determine the relationships of these new fiber measurements to some environmental factors like rainfall, growing degree days, and soil hydrological group. So what we did is we did 2 years of on-farm sampling of corn silage at harvest. These were farms that had daily rainfall data. We used three farms, one in eastern New York, one in central New York, and one in western New York. Our eastern New York farm was near Saratoga, Albany area. The central New York farm was just north of Ithaca, and the western New York farm just south of Batavia area, so almost Buffalo, but not quite. And each year, we had 3 to 4 fields per farm and 5 samples per field. Samples were analyzed for the ANDFOM, starch, protein as a percent of dry matter, and UNDFOM and ANDFDOM as a percent of ANDF. And then when we did the analysis, we converted everything to a percent of NDF instead, as a percent of NDF, sorry. And then the farm data we collected was planting date, hybrid, harvest date. These farms were selected because they had either a weather station that was collecting daily rainfall and daily high and low temperature, or the farm was doing a really good job of recording daily weather conditions, and then the field soil type. We did our analysis in JMP and did a couple different models looking at changes over time and based on conditions. We used the hydrological class and year in the model, but year didn't end up being significant only for a few things. And so main effects that we used were BMR versus conventional, growing degree days base 50, and rainfall for the month. And then we were able to look at predicting our digestibility, our undigestible, our fast pool, and our slow pool NDF. Just to give a general idea what these corn silages look like, The average NDF in the first year was 40. The average NDF in the second year across all farms and fields was 36. And the combined average was 39. Starch was 33 and 37. And dry matter, 34 and 36. One of the things we looked at right away, because the biggest difference in these 2 years was rainfall. The second year was a very dry year for all of western New York. There was no rain for about 8 weeks. So we wanted to get an idea of when we saw these differences in NDF and starch, what was going on, and if dry matter made a difference in our NDF or starch. So we see that classic replacement of NDF and starch, since these are just a percent of the total plant. As our NDF increases, our starch is decreasing, and vice versa. So we're just replacing one element for another. However, dry matter at harvest really isn't changing. So this is going to be for NDF, and as our dry matter decreases, our NDF really kind of stays the same. Our starch changes a little bit because we know we're kind of still adding some starch then, but really we're not changing our NDF anymore as dry matter changes as we approach harvest. So when we look at the UNDFOM, so that undigestible fraction measured at 240 hours, soil class we found lower UNDFOM, the A class, so that really well-drained ones, with a difference of 9 units and a significant difference in UNDFOM by year, which I showed on the previous slide, with year 1 being lower than year 2. And as expected, our BMR samples were significantly lower in NDF compared to the conventional hybrids. So if we take a look at NDF digestibility as a percent of NDF, so we see the difference in our BMR versus conventional, as expected, that as we move towards those conventionals, we're losing some digestibility. But the things that we found very interesting were that the time we're receiving rainfall is determining more the digestibility of that crop. So if we look at total rainfall for the season, we do see an influence of differences in total rainfall. But since we had daily precipitation data, we were able to break this down by month. And in the future, we'd like to break it down by days after planting versus month, because everybody's months versus days after planting are not the same depending on where we are in the country. But you can see that if we got precipitation in May, so if we look down here, May precipitation, as we got more precipitation in May, we had more digestible NDF at the end of the season. However, when we get more precipitation in August versus May, we decrease our digestibility. Looking at the undigestible fiber versus the digestible fiber, we see the same thing where our August precipitation has the largest effect, and we see a big difference from year 1 to year 2, and that's going to be because we had some really big differences in rainfall timing, not necessarily total rainfall from planting to harvest. So our total rainfall from planting to harvest was pretty similar, but because of when we saw that precipitation, we saw big differences in how that fiber was going to be able to be digested. So looking at the fast pool versus slow pool, so the stuff that animal is going to be able to get out of a rumen quick and eat some more and keep eating and get energy out of and maximize the crop and the energy we put into it into making milk. Again, we see the big difference with our BMR versus conventional, gaining some digestibility for being in that BMR group. Seeing that we have a difference from year 1 to year 2, again, because of when we saw rainfall, not because of the total amount of rainfall that we saw. When we have high May precipitation, we get less fast pool, so we have less stuff that the cow can use. When we have our precipitation in June, we get more slow pool. So this later season rainfall is going to give us less digestible fiber versus the early season rainfall. In the Northeast, unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of control over this, except for possibly looking at adjusting planting dates a little bit, but I don't know if that's really enough. As we move into areas where you could you're using irrigation on your corn silage crops, there may be some advantages to starting to look at, can we time irrigation to maximize fiber digestibility? So again, just taking a look at these relationships. So this is the fast pool NDF here, BMR versus conventional. So our BMR, as expected, has got a little bit better digestibility in that fast pool. And if we look at this August precipitation, again, we see our biggest decrease in digestibility when we see rainfall in August. And so this is what happened in year two. In year two, we had a little bit of early season rainfall, but then we didn't get much rainfall again until late August. And so that crop wasn't finished yet, but we got the rainfall. We did get some ear growth recovery and some ear filling recovery, but we lost digestibility because we didn't have that early season rainfall in year two. Looking at the slow pool, so the undigestible fraction, again, we're seeing that this later June, July, we get our July and August gives us a lot more undigestible fiber in that plant. And again, we're looking at August precipitation shifting our NDF from fast pool to that slow undigestible pool, which is going to impact how much energy we get out of this forage for our dairy cows. So in conclusion, our soil type and hybrid significantly influenced NDF, NDF digestibility, undigestible NDF, rainfall, and temperature. I focused a little more on the rainfall here because it was a stronger effect. Significantly influenced NDF, NDF digestibility, and undigestible NDF. And timing of that rainfall is really the important factor here. When we're getting it, not the total amount that we're getting, is changing where that NDF ends up as far as availability for the animals. And that August rainfall really had the largest impact on how digestible that fiber was going to be. We saw the same results regardless of year, and we do see some potential implications here for being able to time our irrigation or possibly look at adjusting planting dates. However, adjusting planting dates would have to partially be based on can we predict the weather well for the season, and we can't really do that really well yet. So that's all I've got. If anybody's got any questions, thank you.
Was August rainfall harmful because July was dry, or if July rainfall and August are both good, do you see the same effect?
No. We do see the same effect. So year one, we had pretty consistent rainfall through the season, and actually it was pretty heavy rainfall in that June to August time period. Year two, however, we saw very little rainfall June and July, but we saw the same effect of having that August rainfall come in. That's a good question. So what it kind of indicates to me is that rainfall in May is coming as your nodes are still emerging. And so there's still some genetic determination of what that plant is going to be. The rainfall in August is a little more confusing because that plant in a regular rainfall season in August is probably going to be pretty much at its maximum height potential. You're not going to get any more height on that plant. So it could be because if you get that August rainfall, then you have the genetic potential to put on a larger ear, so you start putting on more undigestible fiber to account for holding that plant up better, would be about the only thing I could think of, because you're not really going to see a whole lot more vertical growth that the plant's going to need to support when it rains in August. At least, you know, in New York, it's going to be different. If we actually look at days after planting.
Yeah, so is it actually rainfall, or is it just plant development? Is it just the time of year?
I think it's the time of rainfall after planting. So it's not the month of rainfall necessarily. When we get a chance to really put all this data together, and change things a little bit in our analysis, I think if we look at days after planting versus month of rainfall, we'll have a little bit better way to explain it. Because right now, looking at just month, like I say, month isn't the same stage of maturity everywhere, and not necessarily the same stage of maturity. All of these were planted about the same time in New York.
Water is water. So I'm just trying to understand if you can say rainfall, or just it's nice to rain, or it would be better if it didn't rain?
Well, that's the limitations of doing this in the Northeast, is that we don't have any control over our rainfall, and so we're subject to whatever we get the rainfall. The other part of this we have to add in as we expand the data more is we do have timing and rates of all the fertilizer applications, and so we'll be able to build in, as we look into this further, how the differences or similarities in nutrient application rates and timing may have also played into this.
Thank you so much.